Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the homebrew meeting for the month of April. Wow, this year has gone by. So many things moving in our lives, so many things moving in the world. But one thing for sure is God needs to be moving in our hearts. And if He's not moving in our hearts, then we are in trouble. Amen. And so let's not worry about what's going on in the world. Let's not worry about what's going on around us. Let's just worry about loving the Lord, and He will take care of the things that He needs to take care of, and He will enable us to take care of the things that we need to take care of. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and get into biblical elements for daily living. And as we do, we'll go ahead and we'll look at some points from last month. And then that will go ahead and just kind of move us and our spirit into what the Lord would have for us today. And so last month we looked at biblical elements for daily living, number 14, and that was the cry of the Lord. Can you hear Him cry? Can you hear that cry of the Lord, that quiet, still cry that's deep in your spirit, that calls out deep unto deep? Well, it's there if you can calm yourself down and you can be able to hear those things that He's saying. So let's go ahead and look at a couple points from the cry of the Lord. Many churches and many people, that's point number one, many churches and many people have fallen into thousands gathered to watch a few perform. And we see that not only in Hollywood and in sports arenas and stuff like that, but sadly we see that in church. There's just thousands and thousands of people, and people are up on stage and a few people are performing. Well, I don't believe God is in all of that. No, He's not. Point number two is few people truly hear and respond to the cry of the Lord. Let me say that again. Very few people truly hear and respond to the cry of the Lord. And I kind of looked at, of the 10%, and I kind of boiled it down to about 10% of the people that are believers, they hear from the Lord. And of that 10%, about 6% go ahead and refuse to move in what that the Lord wants them to do. 3% begin to move in that, and they get off track. And then less than 1% of all the people that hear from the Lord move correctly in God. Well, that's not a lot of people, but the Lord will take what He can get there. Amen. Point number three is there are four groups, and this is what we looked at last month. There are four groups of people in the body of Christ today. In the first group are those who are satisfied with the redemption of Jesus Christ that was accomplished on the cross. They're satisfied with that free gift of salvation that they have. But they have not become personally active in a present relationship and communion. But once we get saved, we are to go deeper. There is to be spiritual growth and development in our life, to where we go into communion, not so much communication, that is talking and, talking to the Lord, but communion is that heart-focused relationship. And then out of that communion, then we have that personal relationship with Him. So that is one group there. The second group are those who are satisfied with all that the Lord provides. That's the bless me, bless me, bless me. It's amazing. You walk up to somebody, how are you? Well, I'm blessed, and the Lord's blessing me, and so forth. Well, it's the bless me, bless me, bless me crowd. They know enough to ask for a blessing from God. That's how much they love God. They know that they love Him so much that He will go ahead and bless them. They are satisfied with God's blessing, but have not grown spiritually. There's no spiritual growth and development in their life. They reject God's dealings and judgments and are not sold out. And that's why there's no spiritual growth and development, because it is that dealings and judgments of God in our life will go ahead and cause that spiritual growth in our life. And so when we reject those dealings and judgments, reject that, God working in our life and in our heart and revealing our character flaws and our nature and all of these things that are not of Him, when we reject that, then that is where that spiritual growth and development comes from. So the only thing left we have is, bless me, bless me, bless me. Then there's a third group. And the third group are those who try to do God's will in their own strength. Wow. They try to do God's will in their own strength. And that's probably 70 to 80% of the church today are trying to save the world. And that's not what God is trying to do. God is not trying to save the world. God is trying to, go to the world and save people out of the world, but not trying to save the world. No, he's not. And we can see that in Moses' life. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his life is divided into 43-year periods. And the first 40 years, he grew up in the world, in the palaces of Egypt. He had all of the knowledge. Then the second 40-year period, still moving in his strength, he tried to save, he was the backside of the desert, so forth and so on. And the last 40 years of God, of his life, God was able to use him. So two-thirds of his life was built in his own self-strength. And once he learned that his self-strength will never, ever be able to produce the will of God for his life, the last 40 years as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, that he was used. Amen? That group of people, they must discover that our strength will never do to receive God's strength. We must take off our strength. Let me say that again. We must take off our strength. We must take off our thinking and our ways so that we can put on God's ways and his strength. And if we never take off our ways, if we never take off what we want to do in the way that we want to do it, so that we can put on the way that God wants to do it, then we'll never, ever be able to do the things that God wants us to do. God's will. God's will. Not doing God's will never give us the ability to do our will. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the last, Karen, can you go ahead and read Exodus 3, 4, and 5? And this is that fourth group of people that we looked at last month. And this is the group that you want to be found in.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. So from the burning bush, Moses turned aside to see, to hear the cry of the Lord. So this is where we want to be. We want to be in that group of people that have that spiritual ear that is able to see that and turn aside to hear the voice of the Lord. Because once we hear the cry of the Lord, we will never, ever be the same. Moses was fascinated by that bush that was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. And the Lord spoke to him out of that bush. And once Moses talked to God out of that bush, Moses was never the same. His physical countenance was changed. Matter of fact, when he came down off the mountain, his face just shone from the glory of God. And a lot of people don't know this, but Moses, the last 40 years of his life, he had to wear a mask over his face because the glory of the Lord was still upon him. And the people, it just scared the people because it was a self-conviction of sin to the people, the glory of the Lord was. So it's just amazing. But once we hear the cry of the Lord, we will never, ever be the same. We will be purified by God's fire, and our ambitions and our dreams and our plans will melt away. That is the group. That is the group that we need to be in. We need to be in that group that hears the voice of the Lord. Hears the cry of the Lord. And then, because we're never the same. And then we will let God purify our life. As we sing that song, Purify My Heart, O Lord, and our ambitions and our dreams and our plans all will melt away. And then God will be able to use us the way that He wants to. Amen? Amen. So that was some points we looked at from last month and from the cry of the Lord. And this month what we're going to do, we're going to look at next. Wow. We're going to look at next. And so we're going into biblical elements for daily living number 15. And of course these biblical elements, so these are different things that we need to embrace in our life to help us in our daily living. And one of those things is next. And so our text will begin in Mark 1, 16 and 18. Very familiar verse. It says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee," of course this is Jesus, "he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." They were fishers. Verse 17, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make..." Now notice, if you've got your Bible there, you need to underline this word, "become," because this doesn't make sense in the sentence. It says, "I will make you to become fishers of men." And that word "become" kind of sticks out there because it's very important, because that word "become" establishes a process. It's not about the methodology, but now it's about a process. "So I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they took their nets and followed him. Wow, and followed him. So nets. The net is whatever we may use to draw to ourselves the fulfillment and the satisfaction that we seek. Wow, let me say that again. The net, those things, is whatever we may use to draw to ourselves the fulfillment and the satisfaction that we seek. Simon and Andrew here were casting their nets to catch fish. When Jesus came, he used words that they could easily understand. He told them that if they would follow him, he would make them a fisher of men. He would make them fisher of men. What nets do we use today to draw fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives? Wow. I'll let that sink in for a second. What nets do we use for us to draw to ourselves fulfillment and satisfaction? Wow. Are they of the world or are they of the Spirit? Are they of the world or are they of the Spirit? One thing for sure, our lives will reflect the nets that we use to draw satisfaction and fulfillment into our life. Notice that Jesus did not say he would show them how to fish for men. Rather, he said that he would make. It's a making process. It's a making process. Make them to become fishers of men. Wow. The emphasis was not on methodology, but rather on the Lord's desire to draw them to himself in order to change them. So unless we are drawn to God, unless we allow God to draw us to him, we will never ever be changed. We will never ever be changed from glory to glory. We'll never ever be changed into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, which is God's main objective in our life. Wow. The difference between showing and making is a process of God's dealing and judgment. And as I said, it is God's dealing and judgments, what I call making places. These are the things that goes ahead and is brought into our life, and that process that brings us into that understanding of how we need to change in all of these things in our life. And if you just show someone how to do something, you will never ever really be able to embrace that and take that into yourself. But if you go through that process, if you go step by step and allow the Lord to deal and judge in our heart, then that will be able to bring us to a place where we'll be able to become that. Amen? John shares this thought this way in Revelations 5, 9 through 10. "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Now notice verse 10 here. "And has made me unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth." Revelations 9:5, 9, and 10. The emphasis is on our being made ready to reign and not on the fact of reigning. So here, this is not about what we're going to do when we're going to reign, but here we are being made that process, you know, that we go through that will enable us to reign and rule. And of course, we know that we will rule and reign on the earth in the millennial reign and in the kingdom age. We like the rewards of ruling and reigning and being conquerors and kings and so forth, but not the process. But without the process of being made, there is no reward in God. Wow. Now that was worth coming. And here, you know, we like the rewards, but without the process, there will never ever be any rewards in God. You know, place great emphasis on the program, the next, that is used to accomplish a certain purpose, rather than seeking to develop the ability to rightly use that program. We cannot give what we cannot, you know, what we do not have. Let me say that again. We cannot give what we do not have. Therefore, it is very important that we spend quality time in the presence of the Lord and develop a strong spiritual relationship with Him. Again, that's what I was talking about, spiritual relationship and the communion with Him. Wow. We see this today in the church, that lack of spiritual relationship with the Lord. Instead of teaching to develop a relationship with the Lord, what do we see? We see the church developing the next. They develop music, and they develop singing, and they develop dancing and flag waving, and they develop all of these things, all of these nets to get people, to catch people, and to bring them in. But they totally miss out on the inward work of the heart. So they're focusing on all of these nets, they're focusing on all of these outward things, but they're missing the inward parts. Most churches have nothing to give. And that's why they have nothing to give, because they are focused on the outward things and not the inward thing. Because if the inward thing is what we have in our heart that enable us to give the life of God to people, and if we cannot give them the life of God, then we're giving them nothing. But we could sing and we could dance and, you know, we could do all that. We can even get up and preach and stuff. But if we do not have the ability to give life to somebody out from the life that we receive from the Lord, then we have nothing to give. Only when we will have in order to give. So we have to receive something to give it. I mean, if I said I was going to give $10,000, you know, I have to have $10,000, to give it to them. So we have that in order to give it. In the book of Acts, we read, this is a very famous verse, Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." Now that word there, witness there, is martyr, "unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The word witness can be translated many ways. The most common is martyr, and that's the way it is here, it's martyr. But another way is sample. Now, I like that. Here the Lord is placing the emphasis on us becoming a sample of Himself. Wow, we are to be a sample of Himself. So, once we receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, we shall be a sample of the Lord into Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria. Wow. Often the emphasis has tended towards two extremes, either at asceticism or activity. Asceticism or activity. Now, we all know what activity is, but asceticism is something that most people really aren't familiar with. I had to look this up myself, but asceticism is to get control over our body by fasting or giving themselves over to pain. So you see a lot of people that go ahead and, you know, try to purify their bodies and stuff by fasting and all this stuff, and, you know, you know, they do that, but the most common way of asceticism is to choose to live without comforts. So a lot of people will live out in the woods and out in the deserts and stuff and try to be holy. But that doesn't work. We must have something in God to be able to give the life of God. So if we do not have the life of God in us, then we'll never ever be able to give that life of God. We are to become the process of God's dealing and judgments so that we will be able to become like Him. Wow. Okay, that is a very deep statement, but that is true. We are to become, we are to be made the process of God's dealing and judgments so that we will be able to become like Him. In other words, without God's dealing and judgments in our life, we'll never ever be able to be like His dear Son, Jesus Christ. In the early church, there were those who, so true today, would become known as the Desert Fathers. They considered the world to be so wicked that they went out into the desert and lived in caves so that they could be separated and as a result become spiritual. Well, they didn't become very spiritual. They just became very lonely because that's not the way that God wants to work in our life. But Jesus said that we are not to hide our light under a bushel. We are to be in the world, but the world is not to be in us, right? We're in the world, we're born into this world, we're strangers, we're pilgrims, but the world is not supposed to be in us. But unfortunately, most Christians dig their heels into the world, and they're so deep in a part of the world that, well, they just kind of, you know, they miss out on all the things that the Lord, you know, because they're so into the world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not this world, nor the things that are in it. Well, unfortunately, most Christians today just have a great love for the world. But rather, our light is to shine before men. We are to become a witness of the life and ministry of Jesus by becoming a sample of Him, a piece of a real thing in the place of need. Well, I will tell you, people, when they need something, they know something that's phony and they know something that's real. Now, most people don't, when people need something, you know, they will know something that is phony and when something is real. Amen? Jesus said we are to let our light, you know, shine, therefore. But unless we become like Him, we will have nothing to give. No, we won't. We'll have nothing to give. In our becoming a sample of the presence and the power of the Lord, there will be many occasions in which it will be easier to do otherwise. Jesus said, I will make you to become. This is the processing of the Lord to prepare us to rightly respond to the situation. Thus, those who are to rule are presently being prepared for this purpose. You know, oftentimes we look at the Bible and we think, well, we live for today and so forth and so on. Well, that's not true. God is working in our life and God is making us and He's preparing us, not for today so much, but He's preparing us for the future. We today are being trained to rule and reign. We are being trained. We are, you know, God is working in our life. We are being trained so that, you know, first we can learn how to overcome ourselves so that we can rule and reign in ages to come. If we fail at working on ourselves, let me say that again. If we fail at ourselves, then we will fail totally in all areas. We must learn how to, you know, allow God to work in our life and teach us and break us and mold us and shape us so that we can overcome ourselves, so that we can overcome in so many other areas. As we allow the cross to become effective in our life, and as we die to our feelings and reactions and allow Jesus to be seen through our lives, we will indeed begin to catch those lost for Christ. In other words, instead of having singing or dancing and have those nets, we will go ahead and throw the net of our life that God has worked, you know, His beauty and His grace and His glory into us, and we'll be able to cast that net, and we'll be able to catch those people in the world. And if we get this right, others will want to become like us. We will be that sample, and others will become, or, you know, will want to be like us. Wow, I want to be like Ted, I want to be like Karen, you know. Wow, that's, you know, that's what He wants us to be in our life. The other extreme is doing, so we have the cynicism over where we separate ourselves from the world, and the other one is doing. For too many, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is considered to be power for service, and that's not true. These place the emphasis on going out to witnessing, which can result in running without the message. Now, I've seen that so many times. So many people are out there working and working, and they don't know why they're working. They're doing things because we're supposed to be doing things instead of doing what God wants them to be doing. Our life needs to reflect the message for the world to see. Let me say that again. That's a powerful thought. Our life needs to reflect the message for the world to see. We have power not to do, but to become like Christ. Let me say that again. We have that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, not to do and go serve and work and do all of these things, but that power is to help us to become like Christ. And of course, the more that we can die to ourselves, the more we'll be able to be like Christ. Peter heard the word fishing and did not realize that he was about to experience and being processed to become the witness of the Lord indeed. We, like Peter, must be processed by the Word of God in our lives to the silence of our words, our desires, and our thoughts. Let me say that again. These are three areas that we must be brought into a silence. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to share what I have a teaching called The Four Anchors of God. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share, some of that from The Four Anchors of God. And that is that there is a place of silence in God that brings us to nothingness, a place where we have nothing to say. There are three types of silence: a silence of words, a silence of desires, and a silence of thoughts. The first is perfect. The second is even more perfect. And the third is most perfect. In the first, the silence of words, there is virtue or strength that is acquired. In the second, the silence of desires, quietness is obtained. And in the third, the silence of thought, this is our goal, the internal recollection of all of our senses. To lay hold of the silence of thought is to arrive and abide at the center of our being where Christ dwells. Not by speaking or desiring nor reasoning do we reach the central place of our inward walk, that place where God speaks to our inward man. It is there that God communicates Himself. Wow, God communicates Himself to our spirit. And there in the innermost depths of our being, He teaches us about Himself. He guides us to this place where He alone speaks His most secrets and hidden of His heart to us. We must enter into this through silence if we would hear His divine voice within us. Forsaking the world will not do it. That's cynicism. Not accomplished by this. Nor will renouncing all of our desires. No, not even if we should renounce all things created. What then? Rest is found only in this threefold silence. Only before an open door where God may communicate Himself to us. It is in that place He can transform us into Himself. Let me say that again. It is in that place is where He can transform us into Himself. And again, that is His grand goal, for us to be conformed and into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow. This transformation of our soul consists not in speaking to God, nor in thinking of God, but in loving Him greatly. And how is this love acquired? by means of a perfect resignation to God's faithfulness, and through this three silence chord. Amen. When Peter told the Lord that he would die for himself, Jesus responded that he would deny him. You're never denying me, so forth. Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter reacted, but soon learned differently. We get to promise the Lord many things which we were incapable of doing, but the Lord has provided a way for us to go beyond these cycles of failures, to follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Wow. It is what God is doing in our lives. He did not save us so that we could go to heaven. Going to heaven is a byproduct of that. Oh no. God saved us so that we can be saved from ourselves and from the world and from the devil, so that we can become like him for all ages to come. But poor Peter is just so much like us. Amen. Some parting thoughts on the last page. Some parting thoughts. It has been said that no one can get our goat unless we have one to get. We cannot be offended if there's no offense in us. As a child, I remember how kids would tease and tickle on certain children. Now, I see that, they were picked on because they reacted to that offense. And the greater the reaction, the more they got picked on, as other kids enjoy their reaction. Now, I learned a very valuable lesson in Romania, and that is we cannot be offended unless there's no offense in us. Isn't that interesting? We cannot be offended. Nothing will offend us if there is no offense in us. And when we get offended, it's because the offense is in us, and somebody reaches out, that be our wife or our husband or a friend, will reach out and they will touch in word or in deed that offense in our heart, then out of our mouth will speak our heart and we will get offended. Wow. Psalm 165:119 says, "Perfect peace have they that keep the law, and nothing shall offend thee." In effect, Acts 1:8 reads, "You will receive power to become." Wow. The desire of the Lord is to so change us that only his light is to be seen. Therefore, all we need to do is say, "Lord, I am available and willing to receive that power." Therefore, all we need to do is to say, "Lord, I am available and willing to receive." Wow. The power we receive is not to empower us to minister and preach and teach and do all that, travel around the world and build this and build that. No, the power that we receive is what we need to be able for us to fall into the ground and die. John 12:24 says, "Unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and live and sprout," "unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die and abide alone. But if it does, then that corn of wheat will be fruitful." Wow. Spiritual development and fruitfulness comes out of us falling into the ground and dying. Last point, only then will we become the message that people will respond to. Our lives so changed by the power of God that his presence and blessings are evident into our life. God gives us the power to lay our life down. Not too many Christians want to lay their life down. Not too many people want to lay their life down. Because without this power, our flesh will be alive and well. Alive and well. Amen? That was biblical elements for daily living number 15. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and Lord, we love you, Father Lord. We thank you, Father Lord, for this word. Father Lord, lay this word in our heart. And Father Lord, we just love you and we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share this word, Father. As it goes out over the internet, Father, and all the people that listen to it, Father, Lord God, I just thank you and I just praise you for that opportunity, Father Lord, that this word will change lives, Father Lord God. and that we will be willing to fall into the ground and die like that corn of wheat. For we're all that corn of wheat, Father, and we just love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Yeah.